That was the point.
It was funny.
Thanks.
Uh-huh. Yay! So this is where we're at in the point in the presentation. Basically, I'm always kind of awed by the algorithms and the scientific aspects of it because that's not the world that I come from. But this is kind of now the point where we're actually crossing over into the real world and for the way that I perceive how HIV testing actually happens. Yeah. Right click?
No.
There we go. Okay. So basically, I work in San Francisco, and I coordinate the efforts that Jacqueline spoke about earlier. HIV test counselor for over 15 years within San Francisco, very familiar with the city and what HIV looks like, and the logistics around what HIV testing, and particularly rapid testing, takes to implement within the community-based organization. So what I'm going to talk about is basically that life experience combined with the quality assurance necessary and the training that is needed to implement a rapid testing algorithm. So I wrestled with this slide and wasn't sure what to disclose, and I noticed Kevin didn't disclose anything, so I thought I would disclose for him. Kidding.
Thanks.
Yeah. All right. So basically when we started this process, how do we get the agencies to run these tests correctly? What do we get them to communicate to clients around the various results of the test, because that's all new? What kind of training do they need? How should we provide it? And what are the QA needs around a community-based organization running three rapid HIV tests? Some of them struggle with running one HIV rapid test. Well, Paris Hilton kind of came to mind. We actually did this presentation last year, and we did ourselves a disservice by actually presenting it really together. And so I thought of Paris Hilton and a representation of California. But the work that comes to this process is very complicated, and we made it look easy. It's not easy. So I just wanted to kind of acknowledge that this is probably more the reality of a lot of the places that are providing HIV testing within San Francisco. So if it works in San Francisco and in LA, hopefully it'll work wherever you come from, because the diversity of the sites that we actually implemented this study are pretty extreme, from jail settings to homeless shelters to community-based organization, which Dale is a part of and we'll talk about more in detail. The planning process basically identifying the necessary resources and staff. You can't just add this onto somebody else's job, so you basically have to sit down and identify who that key person is, what the policies and procedures are going to look like for an organization that's actually adding these additional rapid tests, the data collection process, quality assurance plans, and conducting training for all the staff. Some of the site logistics, identifying that point person, revising the policies and procedures, the clinic flow changes, the commitment of the staff to the training time. Identify storage for the test kits. Some of those logistics actually were really difficult for some of the sites to overcome. And then the external control logs, or the quality control that goes along with running the additional HIV rapid tests. The training structure, so we had a tech training that basically we got individuals together and we had them do a pass-fail course around the StatPak and the Unigold test, because currently what we use as our first test is the Oroquick. And basically had them run 22 samples. It was a lot of training and a lot of logistics, just setting up the process for them to pass that. We didn't have a great pass rate, unfortunately. About 15% of the folks that we trained in San Francisco didn't pass, and I'll talk a little bit about what those logistics were and why they didn't pass. Trained a lot of techs. We also spent time training all the counselors in the different locations. How do you communicate a reactive, non-reactive, reactive test result to a client? That messaging could be pretty confusing. So, and obviously the phlebotomy logistics in California, I don't know if those of you who are from California, but basically we need phlebotomists in place, and it's a big chunk of change to make that happen. So I'm actually hoping when the RTA gets implemented statewide that we can remove the phlebotomy need, and that should actually increase our accessibility of HIV rapid testing to a lot more organizations. This is a cheat sheet that we put together for the counselors. People seem to really, really like this visual. It just simply identified how to run the various tests. The read time on the test, you can notice, is 20 to 40 minutes on the Oroquick test. it's 2 minutes on the Unigold test. For a site that's really familiar with using that first test and thinks they have a 20-minute window to kind of get back into the room to actually check the result, if they're actually running that third test, the window is only 2 minutes. So therefore, they actually had to adjust the logistics of their site to accommodate for that significant difference. If to think of anything, too, is just to acknowledge the 3 drops to the 4 drops in the buffer solution. I still have to look up at this visual every time I run the test just to kind of, like, you know, touch the ground and make sure that it's there, just because I want to make sure that I get the right amount of drops within the port before running the test. And also just acknowledge the temp ranges. That's quite a logistic as well for the sites to be able to make sure that they are storing these places and storing these test kits that have various temperature ranges. Quality assurance, you know, how often do you run controls? This is basically a visual of why we ran the controls. Ran them to train people, we run them to make sure the test kits are working. Just some sites, they see so few clients that they may never, ever, ever use the third test. So, but at the same time, we want to make sure that they have the ability to use that test if they, for some reason, actually need to access it. So how often do we have them run that test for controls in order to keep their skill level current with that particular test? So it's a interesting question just to say, we don't know. This is what we did, and I think it was a little too ambitious, but when we actually go to roll out an RTA out of a study protocol environment, we may actually augment this in a more realistic manner, but just examining why we're actually having individuals run controls. All right, skills required for techs. Basically, the ability to document, attention to detail, good eyesight, good math skills. This is just for the OraQuick test. It sounds like kind of simple logistics, but a lot of people who are actually community-based volunteers running HIV tests may not actually have, you know, they have great counselors, but they may not have this pre-existing skill set. And so as you move into the staff pack and the Unigold, you actually need the ability to have a steady hand, to use that buffer solution, and obviously good eyesight. And unfortunately, some of the folks that we were training just didn't have those. They just didn't have good eyesight. I mean, that logistic kind of came down to it. It's like, you know, you're a great counselor and you really connect with the people that you work with, but your hand is just not steady enough to make it into that port, and therefore we can't have you running the test. Doing okay on time? Yeah. Sight skills required. Readiness. We basically approached several different sites when we started the study, and a few sites just couldn't take on this additional logistic. We actually have some sites in San Francisco that still do the standard testing just due to the fact that they cannot change the process that they already have in place. It's actually easier for them to have people come back 1 week later than to actually do an HIV rapid test for them. So it's interesting how the logistics of the site being able to change with this new technology, sometimes sites just cannot make that change. So stability of the site, I think Jacqueline can speak to this as well. We've basically learned that if a site is not doing one test well, having them do 3 tests well is actually an unfair logistic to place on that site. And I don't know those of you who have any quality assurance around current HIV rapid testing sites, but you know those sites that are actually struggling currently. So if you're actually looking at implementing an RTA in that environment, really question whether or not how well they're actually doing the first test before you add on that second and third test. Good track record with the community and basically good communication with the Department of Public Health. DPH skills required. I really just kind of put this in here because I felt that there should be some responsibility on the DPH, but in all fairness, if you're a DPH person trying to oversee this process, you have to commit the time and the resources to make it happen. It just doesn't happen on its own. And obviously talking with LA was a key component. Jacqueline was actually a huge form of support in the whole process in helping us implement the RTA in San Francisco. So what we've learned, sites with good track records, obviously the ones you want to go. The RTA is not for all sites. I think I covered that pretty well. The more TA, the more successful a site is actually going to be. Slow rollout, basically start with one site that functions well, introduce them to the rapid testing, and then go to other sites as they come on board. The data collection process, making sure that that's in place for the new additional lab slips that might be needed to be completed for running the STAPEC and the Integral tests. This is outside Magnet, which Dale's going to talk about, but basically talk with the sites before you implement, train them, watch them, and then talk with them some more. Part of the TA that I did was basically San Francisco's a small place. I have a bicycle. There's five sites that were doing the RTA. They'd call me and they'd actually say, you know what, I'm getting a really, you know, I'm getting a weird line on something. Can you be here? So I could be there, you know, 5-10 minutes later and actually see the line on the OraQuick test before it actually fell out of the 40-minute window period. And that relationship, and I spent a lot of time in each of these sites, probably 4 to 12 hours a week is actually in the field at these various sites. And that's really helped with the TA around making that happen. And I think that's why LA's actually been a great sister site for the study, is just the fact that, you know, that logistic is not in place. They're huge, they're massive. Cycling across LA would actually take a fair degree of time. And Jacqueline's not committed to doing that, so. We have tons of training materials about all of these things. We basically created that tech training. We've created the counselor training. I'm a big fan of the cut and copy. So, you know, if you need materials or if you just want advice on how to set up an RTA in your particular health jurisdiction, please contact us. Dale as well is a great resource, and he'll explain more about how to actually make it happen in a community-based organization. But there's no need for any of you to recreate the wheel. I think the knowledge that we've gained over the last 12 months around this RTA is pretty much well captured, and we're more than willing to share that with you all. So, thank you very much.